Welcome to the Golden Age of Comic Books. It is October 3rd, 2005, and this is the Golden Age of Comic Books. This is Bill Jourdain, your host. Welcome everybody to the show. We are very glad you're here. We've got a good show this week. We've got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about some additional reprint information for the Golden Age of Comic Books. We're going to talk about a character created by Simon and Kirby, not for Marvel and not for DC, so stay tuned for that. Then we're going to talk about one of the flagship titles that was put out by DC Comics during the Golden Age of Comics. So let's jump right on into the show. First of all, I wanted to mention another reprint source for the Golden Age of Comic Books. After our last podcast, where I mentioned that very few of the Aquaman stories have been reprinted, at least to my knowledge, one of our listeners, Bruce Rosenberger, left a comment on the blog page that there was another source that reprinted many of the Aquaman stories from the Golden Age of Comics. Now, these stories have not been reprinted in an archive edition or even in a book, but they have been reproduced on microfiche, and you can find those by going to a website. Bruce left us a link in the comment for the Aquaman podcast to a company called Microcolor. And apparently, at some point in the past, Microcolor took a lot of the old Golden Age stories from DC and other publishers and reproduced them all on microfiche. Now, of course, if you're going to look at the stories in that format, you would have to have a reader that would read that format. Bruce indicates that those readers are available fairly inexpensively, and that the materials, the microfiche information, or the microfiche films with the comics on them, is still available from this company. I believe the website is microcolor.com, but go to the notes or the comments on the blog from the Aquaman podcast, which was our podcast last week, and check out Bruce's comment. I think you'll find that very interesting. I've never personally seen any of these reproductions on microfiche of the Golden Age comic books, but I have heard about them in the past, and it should be a very valuable resource for reproduction of Golden Age comic book material. So check out Bruce's comment and check out microcolor.com, and maybe you'll find some available Golden Age Aquaman and other Golden Age stories that you can read that are not otherwise available on in archive editions or in any other printed source. Now, Bruce in his comment also mentioned that there's an additional resource available for listening to some of the old Superman radio shows. We talked about the Superman radio shows in one of our previous podcasts, so pay attention to that part of Bruce's comment as well. And if you're interested in listening to some of the old Superman radio shows and you haven't been able to find the CDs or cassette tapes that I mentioned in our previous show, you ought to be able to use the link that Bruce has put on the comments page to find some of those additional Superman radio show broadcasts. Again, the blog page can be found at goldenagecomics.libsyn.com. You can also go to our website, goldenagecomics.org, and there's a link there to the blog page. But if you want to go directly to the blog page, it's goldenagecomics.libsyn.com. And again, the web address is goldenagecomics.org. And speaking of addresses, we have a new email address that I wanted to mention. If you want to send us an email, you can always use the email address that I've mentioned before, and that is comics@goldenagecomics.org. You can also use a new email address that we've set up. That address is goldenagecomics@gmail.com, goldenagecomics@gmail.com. So use either one of those email addresses and send us some email about the Golden Age of comic books. Well, let's talk a little bit about Simon and Kirby. We've talked in the past about their creation of Captain America, and we've talked in some of our previous shows about their creation of the Boy Commandos and their revamping of the Sandman character and other characters that they've created in the Golden Age of comics. But we've always focused on their efforts for Marvel Comics, or as it was known, Timely Comics, or their efforts for DC Comics. But I wonder if you know about another creation of Simon and Kirby, a superhero, that wasn't created for either Marvel or DC. This character was created in 1946 by Simon and Kirby for Harvey Publications. And this hero ran in only three issues, and he was called the new champion of Split Second Action. And his first issue appeared it was issue number one in April, May of 1946. The second issue was the June, July issue of 1946. And the third issue was the October, November 1946 issue, and I believe it was only in black and white. So who was this character? Well, his name was Stuntman, just like a stuntman in the movies. And this character, unfortunately, did not take off very well for Simon and Kirby, and he only appeared in three issues in the Golden Age of Comics. But if you're interested in checking out a superhero created by Simon and Kirby in the Golden Age, who wasn't Captain America, who wasn't the Boy Commandos, and who wasn't the Sandman or others, check out Harvey's The Stuntman. Now, you may have a little trouble finding Stuntman comics. As I said, it was put out by Harvey Publications, but it's a very rare comic book, all three issues. In fact, the third issue, which, again, I believe was in black and white, is extremely hard to find. And if you look in the Gerber Photo Journal of Comic Books, you'll find that they're all listed as being fairly rare. So if you can find copies of those comics, check them out, and I think you'll find the Simon and Kirby efforts for a different kind of superhero in the Golden Age of comic books very, very interesting. All right, well, that brings us to our main topic of the day, and that's another one of the DC Comics titles that was published during the Golden Age of comics. As you know, in the past, I've talked about Adventure Comics, and I've talked about Star Spangled Comics. There were other titles, of course, published by DC during the Golden Age, and as we go forward with our shows, I'm sure we'll talk about various titles as the titles progressed, or perhaps some of the superheroes that appeared in those titles. But today, I want to talk about the very first title published by DC Comics. Now, as some of you may know, the very first monthly newsstand comic book was not put out by DC or by Marvel. It was put out by a company called Eastern Color, and that, of course, was Famous Funnies. That book first appeared on the newsstands in July of 1934. Well, actually, it was the July 1934 issue. I believe it appeared on the stands in May of 1934. And all it was Sunday newspaper strip reprints. Some of the reprints that appeared in Famous Funnies, the July 1934 issue, was Toonerville Folks, Mutt and Jeff, Hairbreadth Harry, Strange as It Seems, Joe Palooka, Dixie Dugan, The Nebs, and there were many others that appeared in this title. Famous Funnies went all the way to July of 1955. There were 218 issues in all. One of the main characters that appeared in Famous Funnies during its run in the Golden Age of Comics was Buck Rogers. And if you look at the description of this title on the various sources, such as Grand Comic Book Database Project or the Gerber Photo Journal or others, you'll see that Buck Rogers was a prominent figure in Famous Funnies. But as I said, Famous Funnies was not a DC title, and DC, of course, got its start somewhere. So where did it get its start? Well, was it Detective Comics number one? No, that came out in 1937. Was it Action Comics number one, the first appearance of Superman? No, DC had been around for several years before Superman made his first appearance. Was it Adventure Comics or New Adventure Comics that we've talked about before? No, it wasn't that title either. In fact, the very first comic that was published by DC came out in February of 1935, actually a few years before the official start of the Golden Age of comic books, which is widely known to be the appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1 in 1938. But in February of 1935, DC published a book called New Fun Comics. It ran for 6 issues until October of 1935. Well, who appeared in New Fun Comics? Well, it wasn't Superman or Batman. It was Oswald the Rabbit in the first issue, and Jack Woods, who was a cowboy. And several characters appeared like that in this title. And then in issue number 6, the appearance of Dr. Occult occurred by Siegel and Shuster. Of course, Siegel and Shuster created Superman for Action Comics number 1, but Dr. Occult made his first appearance not in costume, but his first appearance in New Fun Comics number 6. Then, with issue number 7, the title changed, and it became what it was known as during the rest of the Golden Age of Comics, More Fun Comics. Now, if you look at the covers of New Fun Comics and More Fun Comics, you'll see that the words new and more are very small on the cover, and the words that are most prominent are fun and comics. Now, the title changed in January of 1936 with issue number 7, and then with issue number 9 in March and April 1936, the March-April 1936 issue, More Fun Comics became the first standard-size comic book with original material to appear on the newsstands. Now, More Fun was a lot like the other books of the time in the mid-1930s. That is, there were a lot of funny and humorous features in these books. But in issue number 14 of More Fun Comics, Dr. Occult came back, and this time in costume. Now, some people have called this a Superman prototype or a tryout series for the Superman character by Siegel and Shuster, but Dr. Occult did appear in a costume in More Fun number 14. Now, it's also interesting to note that until issue number 16, there were no numbers on the covers of these comic books. And with issue number 16, the covering, or the numbering of the covers begins on the front of More Fun Comics. Now, More Fun, before it became a superhero book, and we'll get to that shortly, had some very interesting covers. The covers of New Fun 1 through 6 and More Fun 7 through 9 actually are comic strips in their own right on the front cover. If you look at the front covers of those books at the Grand Comic Book Database Project website or in the Gerber Photo Journal, you'll see that they are actually comic strips on the cover, just like they would have appeared in the Sunday Funnies of the time. And then, starting with issue number 10, all the way through issue number 29, we had a traditional comic book cover, which was, for the most part, a humorous cover on these particular issues. And then with issue number 30, we had an adventure type or an exciting cover, some thugs fighting a hero on the front, very similar to the Craig Flessel covers that we've talked about for Adventure Comics in our past podcast. And interestingly, Flessel actually drew the cover, I believe, to More Fun number 30. And then issues 31 through 41 are additional humorous covers, very similar to some of the humorous covers that you might have seen on the other comics of the day. And then, starting with issue number 42 of More Fun Comics, all the way through issue number 51, we had, again, the adventurous, exciting covers, very similar to the Flessel covers that we talked about when we had our discussion about Adventure Comics. And in fact, Craig Flessel drew the majority of these covers on More Fun 42 through 51, with a couple of those covers being drawn by Fred Gardiner. So they're very similar to the great adventure covers that we've talked about before. And if you're interested in looking at some of these really, really cool Golden Age, early Golden Age, actually almost pre-Golden Age adventure covers, check out the covers of More Fun Comics 42 through 51. Interestingly, also, More Fun Comics number 31 has an ad in it for Action Comics number 1. Of course, as we've mentioned a few minutes ago, Action Comics number 1 was the very first appearance of Superman and the kickoff, officially, of the Golden Age of Comics. But More Fun had been around for 31 issues by the time the first ad for Action Comics number 1 appeared. And then in issue number 32, about the same time Action Comics number 1 with Superman was making its debut, Dr. Occult went away. His last appearance was in issue number 32 of More Fun Comics. So if he was a prototype of Superman, he went out the back door when Superman was coming in the front door with Action Comics number 1. And then something exciting happened with More Fun Comics, starting with issue number 52. The superheroes started to make their appearances in More Fun Comics. And the very first superhero who made an appearance in More Fun Comics with issue number 52, that's the February 1940 issue, was The Spectre by Bernard Bailey. Of course, The Spectre is a very unique-looking superhero, all white with a green cape, and very, very scary superhero. He was a policeman named Jim Corrigan who was murdered, who came back as a ghost or a specter to avenge his death and avenge crime by fighting evil as the Spectre. And so the Spectre made his debut in More Fun Comics number 52 and made regular cover appearances and story appearances in the pages of More Fun Comics. Now, the Spectre covers that appeared on More Fun at the time was number 52 through 55, number 57 through 60, and number 62 through 67. But what happened with those other covers? Where did the Spectre go? Well, another fantastic DC superhero was introduced in the pages of More Fun Comics number 55. That's the May 1940 issue. And that was Dr. Fate. Dr. Fate made his first appearance and began his origin in number 55 and 56 and had a complete origin told in issue number 67. Of More Fun Comics. Now, Dr. Fate, of course, was a master of all things mystical and just a really, really neat superhero for a variety of reasons. And I won't spoil all the Dr. Fate stories, but he was just a very mysterious and very interesting character that appeared during the Golden Age of Comics. Now, Dr. Fate appeared on the covers of number 56, which was one of his very first appearances, number 61, number 68 through number 76. Now, if you're interested in World War II covers, check out the cover of More Fun Comics number 72. That is a Dr. Fate cover with Dr. Fate battling the Nazis on a Nazi U-boat, similar to the story we talked about last week from More Fun Comics number 73, which was Aquaman's first appearance. And then starting with issue number 71 of More Fun Comics, yet another superhero made the scene. And number 71 was the September 1941 issue. And another super speedster made his first appearance at that time. Now, that wasn't the Flash. We've talked about the Flash before. And as you know, he made his first appearance in Flash Comics. But in issue number 71 of More Fun Comics, Johnny Quick dashed onto the scene. And he was on the covers of More Fun number 86, 87, and 100. He had the honor of being on the 100th issue on the cover of More Fun Comics. But another superhero came along who took over the cover of More Fun Comics during this period of time. We talked about him briefly in our last podcast last week, and that wasn't Aquaman, because if you remember, I told you that Aquaman never made a cover appearance during the Golden Age of Comics. I really don't know why, but Aquaman was always relegated to the back pages of the comic books in which he appeared. But in More Fun Comics number 73, that's the November 1941 issue, as we discussed last week, Aquaman did make his first appearance along with the Green Arrow and Speedy. Now, the Green Arrow and Speedy came along from the very beginning. We had a superhero with a sidekick. We didn't have a superhero who later on gained a sidekick. Captain America gained a sidekick in his first story, but didn't appear with him immediately. But Green Arrow and Speedy, in the first appearance in More Fun number 73, appeared together right away. Now, the Green Arrow and Speedy, of course, were archers. They used bows and arrows to fight crime, and they had all kinds of gadgets that they would shoot with their bows, gadget arrows, and different kinds of things like that. Really very interesting. Green Arrow's name was Oliver Queen. He wore a green Robin Hood type costume, and the Speedy wore a similar costume, but Speedy's costume was red. Now, the Green Arrow and Speedy appeared on the covers of More Fun Comics starting with number 77. They had first appeared in 73, but their first cover appearance was 77. And they appeared regularly through issue number 85. And then they also appeared in issues on the covers of issues 88 through 99, on the cover of More Fun 101 and on the cover of More Fun Comics number 103. Now, about that time, with issue number 101, another superhero came along to the pages of More Fun Comics. Now, we discussed this superhero when we talked about Adventure Comics a few weeks ago, and that superhero came along into the pages of More Fun Comics number 101. That's the January-February 1945 issue. Now, who was that superhero? Do you remember? Well, it wasn't Superman, but it was Superboy. And Superboy made his very first appearance in More Fun number 101. And he appeared on the covers of More Fun in issues 104, 105, and 106. Now, it's interesting, if you're a fan of the Superboy character, his initial appearances in the pages of More Fun Comics, he really was a boy. He was a kid, probably about the same age as the sidekicks were, like Robin and Speedy and others, probably 10 or 11 years old, maybe 12 years old. But when Superboy developed as a character in the comic books, and in particular when he had his own magazine, Superboy Comics first appeared in 1949, Superboy by that time was a teenager, and most of his adventures were as a teenage boy while he was in high school, and all of the supporting characters that he had while he was in high school. So Superboy started out as a much younger child, and then the character developed into a teenager as the stories progressed in the pages of Adventure Comics and also in his own title, Superboy Comics, that I mentioned appeared for the first time in 1949. Now, Superboy continued along with some of the other characters until issue 107, and then More Fun Comics changed with issue number 108. And between issues 108 and 120, More Fun sort of went back to where it had started and became a humorous book again. And you had characters that appeared in that title, like Genius Jones and others, but it was definitely not a superhero title anymore. It was a humorous title. And then with issue number 121, and this is towards the very end of the run of More Fun Comics, a character appeared called Jiminy and his magic book. And he appeared in the remainder of the run of More Fun Comics with issues 121 through 127. And 127 was the last issue of More Fun Comics, and that was the November-December 1947 issue. Interestingly, while Jiminy was making his appearances with his magic book in More Fun Comics, Superman, not Superboy, but Superman appeared on the cover of number 125 with Jiminy. Superman was flying through the air, and Jiminy and his magic book and his supporting characters are in the foreground of the cover. So a lot of the other flagship titles for DC Comics continued on for many, many years. In fact, on into the 1980s, Adventure did, Detective did. Of course, Detective continues to be published even today. Action Comics continues to be published, and many others that started way back in the Golden Age. But More Fun didn't survive, and by 1947, it was canceled and no longer existed. And the heroes that had appeared in that magazine had moved over to other titles and other stories with other adventures. So I hope you've enjoyed learning a little bit about More Fun Comics. It's important because it marks the very first comic book line or comic book title published by DC, starting with New Fun in 1935 and ending with issue number 127 in 1947. Now, I always talk about reprints of the books or the characters that I mentioned during the Golden Age of Comic Books podcast, and I'll be completely honest with you, there have been a lot of reprints of the various characters that appeared in the More Fun title. A lot of their stories have been reprinted in other adventures, but I'm sure that if you look around, you'll be able to find reprints of some of these stories in an isolated way, and then a number of these characters' adventures have been reprinted in other stories such as All-Star Comics and the All-Star Archives that we've talked about before, and many of the other reprint sources that we've mentioned. So, once again, More Fun, a flagship book for DC Comics that unfortunately met an early demise in 1947. And by the way, I'll mention that if you look at the Overstreet comic book price guide listing for More Fun Comics, they have a fine print note at the end of the run. Usually if you look at the Overstreet price guide at the end of the description of each title, they also talk about the various artists and writers who were involved in that particular title. And in the footnotes for More Fun Comics, you'll note that the Overstreet comic book price guide indicates that all issues of More Fun Comics are considered scarce or rare. So that ought to tell you how difficult it is to find some of the key issues of More Fun Comics, and in particular, if you find them in high grade, they, of course, will be very, very expensive. So if you go to the Comic Guarantee Corp, the CGC website, where they list the books that they've slabbed, you can look up any book that they've slabbed to determine what the grades are of the books that they've slabbed and how many they've slabbed and so on and so forth. And I imagine if you take a look at More Fun Comics, you'll see that they have slabbed some of those books, and they have some that are listed in fairly high grade. In fact, I believe on one of our early podcasts, I mentioned that some extremely high-grade copies of More Fun Comics, the Mile High copies and others, had been located in the Nicolas Cage collection and auctioned a couple of years ago, and they brought extremely high dollar amounts. So if you find high-grade copies of More Fun Comics, they're going to bring a premium because they are important, of course, in the Golden Age of comics, and they are fairly scarce or rare. Well, that's going to do it for this week. Now, it's a new month. It's October 3rd, so once again, I would appreciate it if each of my listeners would go over to Podcast Alley and place a vote for the Golden Age of Comic Books podcast. I was extremely delighted to see that a number of you went over there and voted for us in September. When I say a number of you, it was a handful, but I tell you, every vote counts and every vote is greatly appreciated. So if you could take a couple of minutes and run over to Podcast Alley and place a vote for the Golden Age of Comic Books, I would be forever in your debt. It's not a very difficult process. You have to click on the vote button. It'll then send you an email, and you respond to the email, and then your vote's cast. So please do that. It shows that we have support in the podcast listening community and in the comic book community. And it gives us the momentum to continue on with Golden Age of Comic Books podcast. This is our 18th installment, and we're just having a lot of fun. I'll tell you what, I'm enjoying the heck out of doing these podcasts, and I'm learning something new every week. But the votes count, and the votes are appreciated. So run on over to Podcast Alley and place a vote. I'd love to see 15 or 20 votes this month, if possible. I would really appreciate that. So if you could take a minute and do that, I will be, as I said, forever in your debt. I won't be sending you any Golden Age comic books, but like I said, I'll appreciate it. As I mentioned earlier in the show, we have a new email address. You can still use the old email address if you want, but the new email address is goldenagecomics@gmail.com. You might want to use that address. It's going to be, I think, a little bit more reliable, and it will let me communicate with everybody who communicates with me. I've had some problems with our other server communicating with folks at AOL, and so definitely if you're an AOL user and an AOL listener and you're using an AOL email address to send us email, please send it to goldenagecomics@gmail.com. Our other email address is comics@goldenagecomics.org, but use the Gmail address and we'll see how that works. Also, visit our website, goldenagecomics.org. There you'll find a link to the blog page, which you can also access directly at goldenagecomics.libsyn.com. At the libsyn.com address, you'll find the blog page and lots of really good comment from folks that we've had over the last several weeks. I want to thank each and every one of you that have left comments. I think the comments we've gotten have been just great, and as I mentioned earlier about Bruce Rosenberger, he provided some very, very helpful and additional information that all of you should check out if you're interested in microfiche reprints of comic books and also Superman radio shows. So leave some comments if you're an expert on any area of Golden Age of comic books or on any particular topic that I've addressed in the Golden Age of Comics podcast. Please leave a comment on the blog page and let us know about your expertise. I'd love to see a more robust forum growing. I would love to see more comments and more discussion growing. I don't have a discussion forum per se, but you can certainly use the comment section of the blog page as that forum if you'd like and share information about the Golden Age of comic books. As I've mentioned before, you can go and check out, or you should go and check out, the Grand Comic Book Database Project website at comics.org. And if you go to their website, you'll also find where you can join the Grand Comic Book Database mailing list. And I've been on that mailing list for many years. And if you want to talk about really great topics about comic books being discussed, that's the place to go. So check out comics.org and the Grand Comic Book Database website. Also support the Actor Comic Book Fund, actorcomicfund.org. It is a worthwhile endeavor and very, very important. So thanks again for joining us this week on the 18th installment of the Golden Age of Comic Books podcast. We look forward to doing our 19th coming up next week, and then I guess kind of a milestone, the 20th, and then maybe we'll rapidly get to the 25th and on up to the 50th, and maybe at some point we'll have our 100th episode. I'm not sure what I'll talk about if we ever get to 100 episodes, but that's my goal, and we'll keep going from there. So thanks again for joining us this week. Get out there and read some Golden Age comic book reprints, or pick up some original Golden Age comic books if you'd like. I know there's going to be a comic book show in Nashville, Tennessee this coming up weekend, so I'm sure you can go and find some Golden Age comic books there. So thanks again. Have a great week, and we look forward to talking to you next time.